The Price is Right is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
That is the best theme song of all time.
Absolutely. It's so layered. It sounds like the Main Street Electrical Parade.
It's pretty solid, yeah.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. Thank you for joining us. You have a lot of things to do in a week, and we appreciate you wasting somewhere between 30 to 90 minutes of your time with... It's never 30 minutes. It's never less than like 47 minutes. We've tried to bring this college football podcast...
Wasn't this supposed to be our 30-minute show once upon a time?
Once upon a time.
That was cute.
I think Sir Burr should start cutting the show, like just stop the show at 30 minutes. Stop recording.
Yeah. just leave.
Like that would be funny too.
Say anything. Just leave.
Just pack it up.
Just turn the show into the world.
Turn the lights out. Good night, everybody.
Longest, least coherent voicemail. Right. Like, and one more thing. Beep. That's it.
And that's the show. Have a great night.
There you go. See.
There you go. Send the Sandman out after us.
Holly, are you interested in a Flex Tape limited edition poster?
Yes.
Let me describe this poster to you. I understand that this is not the ideal way to describe anything.
It's technically not still my birthday, but...
It's got kind of a, I'm going to say like a Roy Lichtenstein feel to it.
What? Don't like tease me.
In like the comic pop art, but it also has a photograph. The photograph has Phil Swift, the spokesman for the Flex Tape product. And he's saying that he appears on this poster twice. First, he says, "I sawed this boat in half." And then it says, "And the inside is completely dry." I'm going to send you through. Let's do it through. Here, I just dropped it in Discord. You can see what it looks like.
Wow.
I do want that.
How much do you think that poster costs?
Like a Lichtenstein. Oh my god.
I do want this.
Did he leave? Why is his voice so echoey and gone?
Mm-hmm.
That'll run you $20.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't it?
That's absolutely
Spencer, cool. Your headphones are probably unplugged again.
There we go.
There you go. He does listen.
They weren't unplugged.
They
weren't unplugged. They were loose. They were loose.
So the plug wasn't plugged in.
Yeah, they were, and then I yanked it out probably by twitching in my seat. Hi, everybody. It's been a very exciting week. We've been talking about Flex Seal. We've been talking about Tennessee's new hire. We actually haven't talked about that at all.
No, because we're going to have to do it again in 2 years.
Three.
Should have hired Flex Seal. Here's Coach Flex Seal, everybody.
That's what I would do to placate the angry faithful at Neyland if I were Josh Heupel and we were losing by 20 to somebody we were not supposed to be losing by 20 to.
That's really cute that you're using the subjunctive here.
Yeah. On the sidelines, just have a big old tanker full of water. Everyone starts booing. What do? Poke a hole in the side. Everyone's like, boo! They boo harder.
Shoot a hole
like,
in the side. What you
right,
do is
shoot.
Yes.
Plug a hole in the side.
Crockett to shoot a hole in the side.
That's right. He's got the gun. Yeah.
What you gonna do? You just put a hole in that there transparent rain barrel. How you gonna fix that, Josh? You can't even fix a football team.
Smack!
Smack! And then they just start showing
it's
it on
the thwack.
Yeah. And he puts on the safety glasses the first time, and people are like, oh, what's he gonna do? But then that's like the hype part. That's the part that gets everyone really going is when he puts on the little Flex Seal safety goggles and everyone's like, oh, here it comes.
Did you say the hype part?
Yeah, that's the hype point. And everyone's like, ooh, here it comes.
Ryan, just give him a minute. He'll get it.
I'm going to put the Flex Seal on.
He's going to get it in like 30 minutes.
He might not. Yeah.
It's going to be like the kid in Honey, I Shrunk the Kid. This is one of my favorite jokes in film, actually. At the very, very end of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, when the little kid turns to the camera and goes, "Oh, I get it. French class." That's an icebox joke.
It's good.
This could also be joke. This could also be like an incredibly elaborate turnover ritual. Like, ball's forced to turnover. One defender gets to shoot the water barrel. The other one gets to slap the turnover flex seal on top of it.
I mean it. They would probably lead the league in everything.
Yeah.
They'd be like, these are the most motivated players I've ever seen in my life.
They're
How?
Just going
what
after the ball on every play.
Yeah, this is amazing. He's caused 6 fumbles tonight. Why? They're like, they let him slap the flex seal tape
they
onto the leaky
love,
little
they love
container
the flex
over
tape.
There.
They love the turnover flex tape.
The turnover... They're over there just slapping on each other's eyes and faces. Just
you want your face to stay intact, don't you?
Yeah.
Who's smart now?
Yeah. With enough flex tape, you could live forever.
I changed my name to Flex Seal. We recruited a linebacker named Flex Seal.
My soul tried to leave my body, and then I flex taped it right back. And now I'm immortal.
What state has a 2-star football recruit named Flex Seal? I would say with 2 X's, it's Utah.
Texas Tech.
Probably, and he's a quarterback,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a Big 12.
But with, like, it's F-L-E-X-X, mm-hmm. T-A-Y-P-E.
Wow.
And if he played, and honestly, if he played in, like, Mike Leach's Texas Tech offense, it's 5,000 yards passing. Yep. One season, 5,000 yards.
And he has a brother on the team.
Problematic tweets.
Yep. He has a brother on the team, but the brother's name is just like Sean.
Sean,
quote, Seal. Tape. Seal tape 6. He wears 6.
This is all getting to the point of we're just going to say, well, I don't know. We're through trying to say whether a hire is really great or really bad.
No, we talked about this last week. We're just going to have to do this again in 2 years. I don't want to waste any effort on it.
Yeah, and if he's good, well, that's a surprise.
If he's good, we can have this conversation in 2 years and decide what kind of... Okay, this comes back to what I was saying about gender reveals, how everyone should get a gender reveal party, but they should happen when you're 40.
Mm-hmm.
We should grade coaching hires at the 2-year mark.
Yeah.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone should.
Like,
this
the
is
idea,
also when the we should list the top 25 recruiting classes
the
at
idea,
the 2-year mark.
The idea of grading coaching hires when they are made, like, is kind of bonkers when you think about it. That would be like saying, oh, welcome, it's the Academy Awards, and we award, all of the awards are based on casting. Like, oh, best actor? Mm. We think that sounds good. You cast this person in this role, here's your Oscar. It's like, you didn't even make the movie yet. What are you talking about?
I haven't seen the script. I don't know how it's going to go.
Doesn't matter. We love
I don't know
Denzel.
The challenges.
You put Joaquin Phoenix in there. Do you know what this is going to be like for yourself?
Right? This is also one of those things where you go, oh, hey, everybody's going to have different levels of adversity, right?
Like, you think Joaquin Phoenix is going to be good as Abraham Lincoln? We're excited about it. Best actor.
Ooh.
Did Abraham Lincoln...
I would have watched the Lincoln movie if they had done that.
Did Abraham Lincoln carry a hammer around with him everywhere?
Yes.
Just menacing it? Yeah, yeah. He did. I actually...
Abraham Lincoln wanted us to live in a society.
Yeah. A society where men were free to carry hammers wherever they liked. This is also a thing where not everybody's going to face the same amount of adversity in said script, right? I'm not, like... I'm going to be honest, like, you know, some jobs are The Revenant, right?
That was a good, some jobs are really funny. That's what you
some
mean.
Jobs are utterly hilarious in how bad they are and what kind of circumstances they're going to put people through.
Is that the worst we have ever behaved in a movie theater?
Yeah, that is the worst because The Revenant was the funniest movie I have seen in the last 5 years. Side splitting. Everything about that movie is funny, right down to the long close up on a crow. Where
when he comes, I swear to God, I remember distinctly, I don't remember much about The Revenant apart from laughing at Leo crawling out of a horse, but I remember leaning over to you right as they zoomed in on that crow's eyeball and whispering in like a hiss, if that crow starts speaking Spanish, we are fucking out of here. Like, I was ready to walk out if the crow started talking.
I wanted it so bad.
Don't you do this to me, Alejandro.
Yeah. That's not every script's the same. Not every circumstance is the same. And you're not really going to know. Sometimes you might go, hey, that guy actually did a pretty good job. This lady turned out to be the correct choice for this role. And I couldn't have anticipated it before.
Thomas Jane. Devastating in The Expanse.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say The Punisher.
The
Academy Award-winning Punisher.
We've already had all the Punisher content we need for the year.
Yeah.
The decade.
Check it off.
After Ryan's... Ryan, this was you. The Punisher, All You Need Is Love.
I told you, I don't remember anything that happens on this show.
You quoted The Punisher saying All You Need Is Love just a couple of weeks ago.
The extremely sunny take. I'm tired of gritty takes. What about the extremely sunny take on The Punisher?
Grit? Nothing is good as grit.
Yeah.
Except sandpaper.
Yeah. Punisher. I want Punisher cookie cake.
What if the Punisher listen, didn't suck at protecting his family? Huh?
So, wow. Y'all, we've been through some shit the past year especially. Can I tell you one thing that I think the show has gotten immensely better at? Like, and it's not even, this is not an assailable point by anyone. We have invented so many good businesses.
We are basically an incubator at this point.
Without any money. We don't have.
Hold that thought, because I bought a stock today.
You did. This is getting to the point.
By which I mean, Spencer bought me a stock today.
A stonk. We bought one stock. That is correct.
Oh my god, I just Atreyu'd Yoshi. Shit, did you see that?
Focus, Daniel-san.
I did it on purpose, too. I really wanted the dragon coin.
So.
Shit. Sorry, Yoshi, who's the worst, dumbest dog.
Why would you want to let the rest of the world have all of the fun when it comes to trying to fight stock market foolishness by buying shares of GameStop? A modest and successful corporation was possibly undervalued and is now worth more than many, many larger, more glamorous companies.
GameStop.
Thanks to a fight between hedge funds and Reddit. That's a real short preface of what's happening here.
The rare way to go Reddit.
Yeah. The extremely rare way to go Reddit. That is what's happening. Why would you want to let them cruise alone? That's why Holly owns one stonk.
How many do you own?
Three stonks.
this is gonna be fun. Three
stonks. It's great when you say I own three shares of something, and oh, what a rush, what a ride.
Hey, we made money today.
We did, but who knows what's going to happen?
Definitely not us.
Is the point? Who could have thought that the most important single bet that you could make in this vast market would have been on GameStop, or that it would have to this point come through so glamorously and gloriously? That's kind of what we're getting at today, because you don't really know whether a coach is going to be successful. You don't. We kind of stop trying to guess altogether, unless it's just a patently bad idea. And then even frankly, sometimes the worst idea you have might turn out to work pretty well. For example, this one coach I'm thinking of who's going to help me explain a game I want to play tonight with the three of us regarding, some college football futures forecasting, some value projection, and show you how bad everyone is at this, okay, even on this level. So we're going to play some stonks, but with coaches. I have selected nine coaches. I will tell you that they are from different eras, but all from 1975 forward, mostly. Of these,
are any of these active coaches?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. There are active coaches. No. There are active coaches.
I say yes only because I see you have a Rich Rodriguez tab open.
yes.
That's active in the slimmest sense.
It didn't say active at what?
Right. There's no guarantee. By the, there's no guarantee I used Rich Rodriguez in this, by the way. Okay. I just sloppily left one open because I really should have shut them all. I'm just going to go ahead and, like I said, take off. I'm not waiting for the tower. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to try and see if we can come out on the high side of the historical coaching market. I'm going to turn Holly and Ryan into our prospect pickers.
You'll never turn me. Oh.
You're going to be in the fund management business. You are going to take the resources at your disposal, and you are going to select the three coaches out of this 9-coach pool that, for you, by their record and their accomplishments, show the most potential.
I think you're making this explanation too complicated. You're going to give us three coaches, and we're going to tell you which ones we'd hire based solely on their records and not their names.
You're gonna pick them from the pool. I'm gonna let you take turns. Okay.
We're gonna do the thing no stock investors do, which is look at a company's financials.
That's right. Okay. We're actually gonna give you the financials ahead of time. You're going to go ahead and guess some value moving forward from this point. Remember, this is the point at which they are hired for another job. Okay. And so they have a record, but it's not their full record. It's, you know, at a point in their career where they go and take another gig.
So I am purchasing them at a point in time, at a point on their graph. I see.
The example I'm going to give you of how this is going to work. Okay.
Yeah.
This particular coach, you're going to either pass or you're going to buy. You're going to pick him up, and the record will definitely give away his identity before we're even talking. This particular coach has a 5-19 record with no conference championships and no bowl games. All right. To you.
A what?
5-19 record.
Ah, there it is.
The 5-19 record, no conference championships, no bowl games. Do you pass or do you buy?
Well, he'll have Cam Newton here in just a minute, so I believe I'll buy.
Although it's fascinating to think about Cam Newton with a non-Gene Chizik.
It really is, isn't it? Or a different coordinator other than Gus Malzahn, Gene Chizik had hired Scott Leffler.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the first time? Oh, boy.
That hurts for all of us.
It's a different story.
Okay, I think I get the game. So
right.
So how does this work? You've given us a list of 9 coaches, and how do Holly and I decide which ones we are individually taking?
You're going to look at the records.
Okay.
You're going to look at the accomplishments, and you'll go, I don't know, that one looks pretty good. That one looks pretty good. I will tell you that I've chosen some blue chippers. There is an Amazon in here. Okay. There are some long-term massive performers. There are some steady performers, not spectacular, but good pieces to have in the portfolio. And there are some here that are just absolute ice juice disasters. Sure. Okay.
Oh, ice juice.
Yeah. There are some billion stories hidden in these 9 coaches. Okay. You will select 3. Holly will select 3. I will participate by taking the ones you leave.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So I will receive that. All right. Their win percentages, we're just going to assume that, you know, hey, breaking even in the market, you're at 500. Okay.
Okay.
That's about we'll call that the market average. We'll use the total aggregate of the win percentages after, right? And total that up, and we'll see, you know, whether you go bust or whether you manage to beat the man.
And then the winner gets to go to the Showcase Showdown and spin the wheel?
And the winner gets to go to the Showcase Showdown and wins a weekend with Houston Nutt.
Wow.
Ew.
Okay. Holly, you want to go first?
Is this because there's a weekend with Houston Nutt at stake?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll go first. All right, give me that record.
Okay.
Or whatever we're saying.
So we have 9 coaches. I have them labeled A through I. And you can just peruse. You can simply peruse and go, okay, That guy's got the 105. For instance, Coach A here.
How many do I have to hire?
You just have to take one, and then Ryan will take one. You'll take three total. Three total.
Okay, are we gonna play some music?
You're a grand old flag.
All right. I'm gonna take Coach I, 65-51 with a 560 win percentage, 4 bowl games, and a conference title.
Yes. Now, mind you, by the way, when listing bowl games, I just took bowl games because, as we all know, records in bowl games are pretty much random.
Right.
Okay.
I'm just giving all the information there that is not the reason.
Yes. So I am unsure why. So Spencer has only listed the win percentage for two coaches on this list. He's listed the win loss.
I'm really not sure what's happening.
Right. I think I like Holly's choice because I think in this case that is meant to throw you off. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to get the junker on this list. I'm going to take Coach E, 51-54 with 2 bowl games and 0 conference championships. That's got to be like an upside stock, I think.
Oh, that's a contrarian.
All right, Spencer, do you
Ryan's wanna... the contrarian here.
Yeah, that's right.
That's beautiful.
Do you want to X out the ones that we've picked already?
Yes, yes.
All right.
You go right
ahead.
The
next one I want is, let's take the one that feels like an obvious trap. Coach D, 103-22-1.
Yeah.
7 full or shared conference titles, 6 bowl games or playoff appearances.
Wow. And that's the only one where he brought up the playoff, too.
Yeah. Which is why this feels like a trap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay.
Is that Chris Peterson?
That's a good guess.
Never mind. That's way fewer than 6 bowl games.
But if you're talking at a certain point in his career.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh.
All right. I'm going to go with the least experienced coach on this list, Coach G. Who's 19-7 with 2 bowl games and a conference title. The 731 win percentage immediately makes me feel like this is a bad choice. And I'm sure this is somebody who, like, I'm having trouble thinking of who that would be who had like a real quick burst and then just fucking fell flat on his face.
I'm going to take Coach B just because I'm kind of interested to see what happens here. This guy is 73-32, but no conference titles and only 2 bowl games.
How does that happen?
But he's 73-32, which tells me maybe you're in a really tough conference.
You must, at the very least, you must be in a conference that has to be a group of 5 conference. Cause you can't go 73-32 and only go to 2 bowl games. Like the math doesn't add up.
Okay, I'll remind, we've got a pretty generous time frame. Like, it's modern times, but like 75 forward, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. all right, I'm going to go with the other one that feels like a trap. Coach C, 43-22-1, and that does tell me a little bit about when this is. This is not a coach who started after, what, 96? No conference titles. And Spencer went ahead and said winless in 4 bowl games, even though he just said on this very podcast that bowl game records are just, you know, fucking random. But he doesn't want me to take Coach C. So I think what this is, actually, I'm now realizing, this is the contest of wits from The Princess Bride, which my daughter now calls the poison game. And once every couple days or so, she looks at me and she says, "Dad, we're not playing the poison game." And I say, "Yes, that's right."
All right. That is, so to review, Holly has selected I, D, and B. Ryan has selected E, G, and C. And I am left with coaches A.
A intrigued me.
A, F, and H.
Oh, God damn it. Are y'all still there?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
No, our power's flickering.
Oh.
That was exciting. yeah. Coach, here. I am left with...
Our power is really flickering. I don't know how this connection is still here.
I am left with Coach A, who, to give you Coach A's profile, 105, 62, and 2, with 4 partial or outright conference championships and 6 bowl games. It's pretty formidable. I'm left with Coach F, who, a little more modest of a record, 29 and 25, with 2 bowl games and 0 conference championships. And Coach H, 19 and 19, with 3 bowl games and 0 conference titles. I got 1 that I'm feeling pretty good about and 2 that are just crapshoots.
Okay.
Not real sure how.
I didn't necessarily pick the ones that I thought were the surest things. I picked the ones that I thought looked interesting.
Yeah, I agree with that. Spencer, why don't you reveal yours first so Holly and I know the coaches we didn't take?
Right before we do that, why don't we talk about acorns?
Damn.
Yeah, because in life... Because
we're going to forget.
In life, it's really hard to pick a sure thing. You're going to need help to do that, right? Especially because, I mean, who among us is rich enough to make mistakes before we learn what we're doing with investing in the market? With acorns, anyone can save and invest in the background of life. Acorns! Acorns.com. Acorns is the country's leading saving and investing app. Acorns helped over 8 million people save and invest in the background of life. You can get started in just 5 tiny minutes by downloading Acorns from the App Store, or you can go to acorns.com if you're feeling all like old school digital. Don't want to get mobile with it. Acorns does a lot of really cool things. It automatically invests spare change from everyday purchases by rounding up things like coffee, gas, expenditures to fantastic apparel companies that we might talk about later. It even sets recurring investments, so you don't have to think about it. It's just going on, just piling up there in the background. You don't even have to pay attention to it. You can just, oh, look, suddenly I'm a responsible financial entity. That's what Acorns helps you do.
That makes you sound like a money ghost.
You, a money ghost. Become a sexy money ghost.
Sexy money ghost.
With a heavy metal debit card.
Sexy money ghost.
That's actually like, that's Ghost Rider quality superhero right there. I'm a sexy money ghost with a magical heavy metal
Son
debit
of
card.
A bitch.
And
sorry for cussing during the Acorns read. I'm playing Nintendo. I love Acorns.
You can do what I do, which is I'm invested in the family plan. Where for a small monthly fee, you can set up accounts for your kids that just pile up slowly over time. So pretty soon you're like, oh, hey, man, they're going to get the good mac and cheese when they're in college. Yeah.
Which one's the good mac and cheese?
I don't know. I don't eat mac and cheese. Okay. Right. But I do use acorns.com. You can go to acorns.com/fullcast to claim your $5 bonus when you sign up. It takes under 3 minutes to start investing and saving in the background of life.
We can't tell you about mac and cheese, but we can tell you how to get this cheddar.
Come follow A-Rod and The Rock. Come follow all of the extremely like rich and handsome people over to acorns.com.
No, I think the good-looking deserve our scorn.
Acorns.com.
She means Godfrey.
/fullcast.
Fie on you tall, good-looking people. I do think
I killed that.
You did. Speaking of killing. You know how at the start of, well, not necessarily at the start, but at some point in every Terminator film, the relevant Terminator android is sent back in time mm-hmm. to a pre-Skynet human timeline. And when they appear, they're nude, right?
Yeah.
Where do the clothes go?
Great question. The reasoning for this has always been a little specious, I think. Because I think mm-hmm. if time travel is like that bad on fabric, they should also show up with like no body hair. because eyebrows.
Oh, that'd be a neat trick,
right? Like I think
Equinox would be like selling time traveling booths in the back.
They might be. We can't prove they're not.
That's fair.
But the thing that now makes me not worried about Skynet winning the war is that in none of the Terminator movies does the T-800, the T-1000, the TX, the T whatever, they never go and find somebody wearing home field apparel. They go to a biker bar. They like, you know, assimilate a cop's uniform or whatever. But like, if these mechanical monsters really posed any threat to humanity, if they were really as smart as these movies want us to believe that they are, they would go get some snugly, comfortable, well-made, well-designed, unique, good-looking, high-quality home field apparel. They'd go get a sweatshirt. They'd go get these extremely limited edition sad husky doggers. Mm-hmm. They'd go get a t-shirt that like, I mean, look, they're all in extremely good shape. They should be wearing like comfortable clothes that go with that, but they don't. And that's why I'm like, Skynet's fucking soft and not home field soft. Like, will not win the war against humanity. You can win the war against robots, though. When you go to homefieldapparel.com, use offer code FULLCAST to get 20% off your first purchase. Bonus, now when I see you out in the world wearing a Rutgers Scarlet Knight hoodie or the Hawaii hoodie that is taking the internet by storm. Holly, you got one of those today? Is that right?
I got one of those today. The gray Tri-Blend hoodies were out of stock for a little while, you might have heard. And I had been missing out on... I bought three hoodies today. Whatever. It's still technically my birthday month. But I had been missing out on two hoodies that Brian Floyd has. And I will let him tell you about them right now.
That's incredible.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Floyd. Oh, just like...
Floyd. Wow.
He's just so natural on the mic. It's like,
we might
it
have
makes
to mute
me feel
that,
bad.
Floyd.
No, yeah. Come on. He can get away with it.
So as Floyd was explaining to you fine people just now, he has had, and Ryan Nanny also has, the vintage Hawaii Rainbows hoodie. And also the Slippery Rock University hoodie that has the mascot, an enormous anthropomorphic rock, wearing like a Joe Namath style fur coat. And there is also a Utah Utes hoodie that just has, it's just a really classic, clean, like vintage looking logo that has just an outline of the mountain range visible behind the University of Utah.
Clean.
It's just a really pretty clean look, and I have wanted it since day one. And finally pulled the trigger on all three of those bad boys today, and you can too with offer code FULLCAST.
They just added Temple University today. If you want a menacing owl, you have multiple menacing owl options now.
Look,
Rice,
this is going to be the Temple? Longest home field ad that we do all year, because I got to tell you, I want more of the Temple shirts than... There's a problem with a couple of these home field schools, which is not only are they schools that I did not attend and don't have any family connections to whatsoever, but I want like five or six of their shirts each. And the last time I had this problem was Vermont. And with Temple, I have it again. There were at least three of these shirts that I would love to wear on my person, mostly on my upper body, because the Temple Owl exudes a good deal more menace than you might expect the Temple Owl to convey. But there are several degrees of deranged in this Temple Owl's collection. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Oh, yeah. That owl is ready to get thrown off a plane. 100%. Over some minor shit. Some extremely minor shit. Anyway, Home Field Apparel, longtime friend of the FULLCAST. And, again, you wear their apparel, we see you on the street, we know you are not a Terminator. Is it like, can you even put a price on being able to show your friends and family and neighbors that you are not a time traveling murder bot? I don't think so.
But if I saw you on the street and I were a Terminator, do you know what I would say, Ryan?
Go ahead.
your clothes. Give them to me.
Give me your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
And give me your stylish
San Diego Aztec sweatshirt.
Give me your stylish collegiate apparel with designs and logos you cannot find at other boring places.
Have y'all ever seen Arnold Schwarzenegger's TikTok?
No.
He's very good at it.
He's very good at it. But my favorite TikTok he ever did is a TikTok that is now, for some reason, deleted from his TikTok. I don't know if it was an accident, but it is now on. It is still preserved on his Instagram. His TikTok talk name, by the way, I think is Arnold Schnitzel, which is just adorable. But it is Arnold. Arnold lives, I believe, in Malibu, in the hills of Malibu currently. And he has a good little spread of land up there. It sounds like he's done fairly well for himself. Good for him. Alex Kirshner just speaking through me on the podcast tonight, apparently.
Good for him.
You know who it reminds me of? Do you never, have you been on, Spencer, you've been with me when listening to Garth Radio on Sirius XM, and he plays Dolly's I Will Always Love You, and he always says something like, oh, that Dolly Parton, what a talent.
She's going places.
As though, like, you know, as though he is bestowing his blessing on her.
Mm-hmm.
It's adorable. So Arnold has miniature horses and what appears to be, I think, maybe a couple of miniature donkeys as mm-hmm. well.
Ooh.
On his Malibu compound. And my all-time favorite social media video that he has ever put out is set, unfortunately but funnily, to Toby Keith's Should Have Been a Cowboy, to the chorus. And it is just Arnold riding what appears to be a motorized dirt bike, chasing his two mini horses around the yard on a dirt bike and feeding them carrots.
It's better than a dirt bike. It's one of those gigantic fat tire bikes.
Okay, yeah, one of those.
Which, I adore this.
But it looks like it has a little motor on it. Are those not motorized?
Follow me down this path with Arnold very briefly. Body, huge. Fame, immense. Ambitions, tremendous. Car, Hummer. I will buy the Hummer. He's like one of the first people to buy a Hummer, right? Who will I marry? I marry a Kennedy. A real Kennedy.
Dynasty. What
state, really good, Arnold.
What state am I going to be the governor of? Something tiny like Rhode Island? No, I will be governor of California, the most important and powerful state.
California.
Right? I will do everything huge.
Yeah, he knew how to pronounce it because a kindergarten cop. That does make sense.
Mm-hmm. What are you gonna and what's your pet going to be?
Tiny donkey.
How do you like your donkeys?
Small. Only the smallest donkey for Arnold.
Don't you want like some sort of mega donkey?
No. Donkey must be very small.
Don't tell me about these only mega donkeys.
Only the most miniature of donkeys will satisfy
Never
me.
Never speak to me again of these mega donkeys.
I just love that about him. He's like, what kind of bike are you going to have?
Fat tire. Huge tires on my bike. Hummer of a bike.
Meanwhile, across the country, Danny DeVito's riding a 30-foot-tall donkey through the streets of Philadelphia.
Right, and if they switch,
this is all I want.
They would have to switch because neither could have that, right? Danny DeVito and the entire cast of It's Always Sunny on a gigantic 30-foot donkey with everyone from Bucks County going, oh man, look at that huge donkey. That's weird.
Can that just be the show? Can we end it there?
No, we have to explain the game. We have to reveal your choices.
I did
actual work, kind of. Like at least 10 minutes of work.
That counts.
To figure this out, because we need to find out which one of you went completely bust.
Okay, so you go first. I want to know who we did not take.
Is the home field ad over? Buy some owl shirts. They're all terrific. No, I really mean it. I love these Temple shirts. I can hear myself blowing out my own mic with my enthusiasm for these Temple t-shirts.
Tiny donkeys!
That's Colorado School of Mines.
It is. So.
Oh, the ore digger shirts are good too. Okay.
So, I was given coaches A, F, and H. That means nothing until I tell you these names.
Okay.
Coach A. Revealed, Coach,
say the records,
Coach A coming in had a record of 105-62-2, four partial, tied, or outright conference championships, and six bowl games. had some momentum coming in. And then he took the Michigan job because that is Rich Rodriguez.
Oh, boy.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Wow. So I wish I had said this when I saw Coach A, especially the Tide or outright conference championships. My brain immediately said, that's some Big East bullshit right there.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Now, I will tell you this. It's not great.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not at the pace that he was setting coming into Michigan. But down the stretch of his career, he's currently the offensive coordinator at the University of Louisiana Monroe. A gig is a gig.
Wait, he's not the head coach?
He's the offensive coordinator. No. The head coach is Terry Bowden.
How could I forget?
Yeah. But it's not that bad. He ends up going 58-57 down the stretch at Michigan and Arizona. No conference championships. He gets, by the way, more bowl games at Arizona than he did at Michigan. But, like, they're those Pac-12 tie-in bowl games. So, you know, they're like the New Mexico Bowl. So not really counting those. He's humming along at a post West Virginia 504 win percentage.
Oh, that sucks. That sucks.
So, but you know what? I'm not losing money.
At Michigan, no, you lost money on that. I mean, get that 500's the. All right, fine. You've broken even.
It's disappointing. Okay. All right. It's disappointing. It's not what you want.
Who's Coach F?
Okay.
Coach F, 29-25.
Coach F, 29-25, two bowl games, zero conference championships. We're thinking kind of a ham and egger here, right? Like, maybe this is a placeholder if you just needed to sort of, like, see where things were going for a minute, but didn't really want to.
John L. Smith.
Hammenegger is a great last name, and we don't use it enough.
Hammenegger.
And we should.
Well, this is interesting because I think y'all accidentally handed me the most high side. You handed me the most upside of
that just,
any.
Man, if that ain't the story of our shared working career.
Uh-huh. Because here it goes. That's Jimmy Johnson.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That's okay. Right. Jimmy Johnson was 29-25 at Oklahoma State before coming to Miami and going 52-9.
I mean, he is going to walk into your room with his dick out, but he can coach.
Listen, that's how you get five bowl games in 5 years.
Sorry, what?
walking in. His last name is Johnson. And Jimmy for the first.
Is this a known Jimmy Johnson thing?
Oh, no, I'm speculating aimlessly.
Oh, I was like, God, how is there a coach who I didn't know was a creep?
No. And I assume he would just do it to Spencer.
Mm. The coach, the previous guy, Howard Schnellenberger, he always brought a pipe to the house. Well, so do I. Just a different kind.
God.
Jimmy Johnson goes 52-9 there. That is a win percentage, by the way, in addition to that national title. That is a win percentage of 852. That's 852. Damn. You know? And I'm not even like, and then the only thing he leaves for is to go win Super Bowls. It's amazing. It's amazing. So y'all, thank you.
Are we putting all these guys on the same staff? Because I think that's fun. Are we building like a Sabanite stable?
Yes, we'll have to do a coaching hedge fund to put all those together, and then.
Well, we're gonna have one, buddy. Between the game stonks and your activities over at Acorns.com.
Yeah,
and
by the way,
and me selling my first edition doggers on the open market.
That's true. Those should pull like honestly 10 grand.
Yeah. I said this already on the internet, but this is by far the dumbest thing I have ever personally manifested into existence, and I'm so happy.
By doing nothing, you also handed me Coach H. 19-19 with three bowl games and zero conference titles as a head coach. Coach H was at Pittsburgh. He left the Pitt job to go to his alma mater, Wisconsin. That is Paul Christ, who... Though there are no conference titles here, he's gone 56-19 there with six straight bowl games for a 746 win percentage. So
that's not a bad collection.
Who's gonna be your head coach and who's gonna be OC and DC in that bunch?
If I had to put those together,
you gotta make Jimmy the head coach.
Do you? No, I kind of have to because I think he'll stab me.
He'll cause problems. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll shoot me if I don't make him head coach, right? Because Rich will be like, "I'll fight you," and Paul Chryst will be like, "I'll quit." And Jimmy will be like, "I'll kill you." Yeah, he's got to be the head. He's got to be the head coach. Paul's got to be DC. Rich's got to be OC.
As a personnel grouping, I don't hate this.
Don't hate it, man.
I don't hate this at all.
I really don't.
Okay, what held?
And by the way, I'm keeping track of our collective win percentage here. You know, like market wise, if we got 50, I'm outperforming the market by 20 percentage points with a win percentage of 700.
Pretty good
here. Okay.
Pretty good.
So
what hell did Ryan and I wreak upon ourselves? Yeah.
That's what I did. And that's what I did by accident. Sure. Holly, you have coaches I, D, and B. Coach I, your first pick was 65 and 51 at one point with a 560 win percentage, 4 bowl games, and a conference title. I have very bad news for you.
Oh, terrific. No. Oh, I don't have enough of that at work lately.
You have selected Tyrone Willingham.
That is indeed terrible news and very expensive news.
After winning a Pac-10 title with Stanford and flaming out at Notre Dame, Ty Willingham then took the University of Washington coaching position.
Did he? Mm. Did he really?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say he took it. He didn't really take it.
There wasn't much to take.
No.
Not when he was left. And then went 11-37 there, 0-12 in his final season, and finished with a win percentage of 2.229. So
you're telling me he's consistent?
I'm saying that.
Hell.
I'm saying that
has already put me in a bad mood.
The morning's trading has put you behind the eight ball, and you are going to need all the alpha you can muster to get out there and make some money back.
I'm going to pop the collar of my fleece vest, and oh, shit, fleece vests are powerless against Ty Willingham. He just keeps getting more money.
Your fleece vest is fully ablaze at this point.
He's a part-time golf coach. He knows how to master that.
Oh, no.
If you could have shorted yourself, you should have done it. Oh, and I don't. So let's see if Coach D.
I hate that we used the shorted himself joke and we've already used Terry Bowden.
Let's see if Coach D can help you out and help you get a little bit back here. Okay. Keep those kneecaps intact.
From the smile on your face, I'm guessing that's not going to happen.
Coach D, going into this, 103-22-1, 7 full or shared conference titles, 6 bowl games and or playoff appearances. Coach D, the D stands for Dan.
No, 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 no. I take this back.
You have selected.
Nope. Are there backsies?
I'm afraid you cannot cancel this order.
I call.
Your broker has already processed this.
Terribly.
Dan Hawkins.
Wow.
Can I tell you my favorite Dan Hawkins story?
Yes.
Which is that one time after I smashed my finger in a sliding door chasing a dog through the house and broke it. We had like a swinging door between the kitchen and the dining room, mm-hmm. and I grasped the door frame in an attempt to propel myself after this no account dog, hi champ, and just broke like a bunch of knuckles at once. I showed up to the Peach Bowl, the SEC championship game, something in the Georgia Dome with like a heavily bandaged hand, happened to be seated next to Dan Hawkins, who was doing, I want to say CBS radio at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "What happened to your paw there?" And I said, "Oh, it was a bar fight." And you could tell that he did not believe me at all, but he acted as though he did. And I like that about Dan Hawkins. There, I have said something nice about Dan Hawkins.
Well, Dan Hawkins, after...
Where is he now?
Immense, I will tell you.
Because now I'm concerned that, I don't know, he might end up at Tennessee.
After immense success at Boise State and his first gig at Willamette, Dan Hawkins.
We know it's Willamette. Guys, don't email
Willamette. He then went 39-55 with stops at Colorado and his current job, UC Davis. With two bowl games in that span.
He's been better at UC Davis than he was at Colorado.
He
gets to live at UC Davis. Man, he's got
a gig.
You know what? No. Tell me all these stops again.
I know where this is going.
Uh-huh. He Willamette, Boise, Colorado, UC Davis.
Dan Hawkins has got life figured the fuck out.
Yeah, he does. He really does. He's only lived pretty places, right?
Pretty much.
Yep.
He really has. He's done like the opposite of Mark D'Antonio's coaching career.
And he's gotten paid to leave every job he's ever left, presumably, too, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, well
I'm
done,
sorry,
Dan.
Y'all. Dan Hawkins is leading at life, and the rest of us are just playing for second.
Well, like a lot of CEOs that you shouldn't have invested in, he's absconded with the goods and left you with a 414 win percentage, which is, yes, better than 229, which is what you were sitting on with just Ty Willingham in the portfolio. Holly, you need somebody. You need a whale, okay? You need a black swan. You need some kind of...
I need a black swan. Do you know what a black swan
no,
means?
No, just let, just let him have
it. It's an investing term.
I think we've established that Spencer's grasp of the animal world is tenuous at best.
Is black swan an investing term?
Yeah, nope, Nassib Taleb. Sure isn't. Yeah, no, it is. Go look it up. Nicholas Taleb. Anyway.
I will not look it up.
Yeah.
That's offensive to me.
You need
a black swan.
You need an era defining
value.
Did
you mean, hold on,
okay.
Did you mean golden goose?
No, I did not. Like, you two are laughing at me?
Yes,
No. You need to either have the short sell of your life, or you need to find an asset of such immense value that it can actually balance out all this stank that is currently sitting in the portfolio.
That doesn't make any sense regarding anything I know about black swans.
Oh, there is something that he's kind of
I
right.
I told you.
He's not exactly right.
When does it rise up
no,
and kill
need,
all men?
You either need the event that only you can predict or the asset that only you can find.
Neither of these is a black swan.
That's not really so, what it means, but it's fine.
Dance! Yeah. Dance until you die!
Keep laughing.
I am.
So, fortunately for you, your final pick is Coach B. Coach B coming into this. You picked him up at 73-32.
This is the one that I just thought looked interesting.
Oh, boy. You should lean into that in future picks. No conference titles, 2 bowl games. That coach, you've selected a young Bobby Bowden coming out of West Virginia University.
No, I don't like that either.
Well, you won't like that. You're going to like that 304-97-4 record at Florida State with 12 conference titles, 2 national championships, and 30 bowl games.
I guess, yeah.
With a 750 win percentage.
Well, he does have that going for him.
That all by itself.
Mostly I'm just mad. I got to tell you, out of the 3 of these guys, I'm going to take Dan Hawkins because I feel like I can learn something from him. I don't think it's necessarily going to be anything about football, but...
That's true.
Man.
I mean, where did Bobby Bowden choose to spend 30 years of his life? Tallahassee. Yeah. Advantage Dan Hawkins. Still by the numbers, that puts you even with the immense talents of Bobby Bowden trying to single-handedly pull you into the black, you finish in the red at...
Bobby Bowden trying to what now?
Single-handedly, yeah, what?
That's not a thing that I ever heard about Bobby Bowden.
464. You're at 464 for the total.
You should know, Spencer, black swan event.
When it comes to money, that's black not ever a thing that I heard about Bobby Bowden.
Black swan event is indeed a term in the financial world, but it is only bad. And it only refers to unpredictable events that can have incredibly severe consequences. They are very rare, and everyone insists
because
that
the source of this term is.
Yeah. So, like, the example, and I'm looking at Investopedia here, some examples, the 2008 housing crisis. The dot-com bubble of 2001,
mm-hmm.
The largest hyperinflation in 21st century history in 2008 Zimbabwe. So, yeah, it's not good. A black swan event is not something that is like widely understood as good.
It is something that is something you can bet or hedge against the other way, a la The Big Short.
No, I understand. Listen, yeah. I have also seen a movie.
Ryan has seen a movie.
I just think the way, by the way, we're through Fast 4. We're on to Fast 5 soon. I just think,
oh, good. You've seen the good. Have you seen the second half
of Fast 4?
I mean, have you watched all of Fast 5?
No, we haven't watched Fast 5 yet. Haven't watched Fast 5 yet. We're going to soon.
Will you just let me know when you do so that I can watch it at the same time?
Yes, I will keep you posted. But I just like, okay, it's fine. Spencer knows things. He's very smart.
Tell me what happened with Fast 4, though. Was I right?
Oh, listen.
Boy, very hard to watch.
That end scene. Can you see, with the advantage of what I assume is Blu-ray and the advantage of much better screens than I watched it on in theaters, can you tell what is happening in the final, like, 30 minutes of that movie?
Only barely. Only slightly.
Ugh.
Anyway. All right. So I... I'm not feeling great about how I'm going to go here.
You know what? Your first one, I'm going to tell you this. Yeah. I think you're going to feel pretty good about first one.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe not for the performance on the field, but I think spiritually.
Okay.
Oh, boy. I can't wait to hear what Spencer thinks Ryan's spiritual. I wanted
you to pick this one.
Okay.
And you did. And okay. I'm thrilled you did. Because, frankly, there's more value there than I thought there was, right?
All right. Yeah.
Like, it was already right, and then I looked at the numbers, and I'm like, not too bad, man. Coach E was your first selection. Coach E has a record of 51-54 with 2 bowl games and 0 conference championships. Not exactly spectacular, but yeah, maybe a play against expectations toward a glorious return here. Not exactly glorious returns, not exactly massive, but I will also say not exactly unimpressive either. You selected Coach Brady Hoke out of San Diego State. Where did he think he picked? I wasn't going to steer
funny
you
for
wrong.
Sentimental reasons.
Oh. Yeah, you're right. And his record's not terrible. Like, I feel like I can at least stay above the 500 line here with this.
No,
pick.
You forget. By the way, that in relief at Tennessee in 2 games, and in his tenure at Michigan,
have I not suffered enough?
I had to add them. They're part of the record. They're part of the Brady Hoke fossil record.
Remember when he tried
to
get the job based on
my lingerie brunch?
Uh-huh. Yep. Those were not wins.
How'd he do?
He ended up with a record of 31-22 with 3 bowl games, 0 conference championships, and a 584 win percentage, right?
Is that including his most recent return stint at San Diego State this year?
It is not. I did not.
So I've been cheated.
You've been cheated?
I've been cheated by the market once again.
We have stricken that from the record. We canceled that order.
We halted trading. The irregularities in the market. Elizabeth Warren, I am asking you, do what our nation needs and cancel the shutdown full cast once and for all.
Ryan, do the Bernie meme, but do it in the Brady Hoke voice.
I am asking you once again.
My favorite part about this specific impression is that it is not at all what Brady Hoke sounds like, but it's what he should sound
like.
Yes,
yes.
That's why it's good.
All right. So I'm just above 500 with Brady Hoke.
Yeah, but man, you're like I said, you're profitable.
Okay.
You're in the
black. I'll take it.
All right. Then you selected as your next asset Coach G.
This is going to be bad. This is going to be so bad.
Yeah. 19-7 with 2 bowl games and a conference title and a 731 win percentage.
Fuck.
And based on that, Ryan hit that hook like a hungry bass on a cold morning.
I knew.
Morning.
The problem
just
was I knew.
Right at it.
The problem was
he
it's
just
not.
Dog,
it's,
no, I'm proud of you. You went for it.
It's
you were
not
fearless.
No.
You said fuck the haters and you bought it. You took the chance.
The problem is it's not.
And
like
you got Scott Frost.
Oh, my God.
And I love you for that, because you just did it, man.
Man, spending the day on Reddit Wall Street has made you into a completely different person, and it's not a person that I hate.
I love it. You know what?
It's a person that I hate, but this is good radio.
You're taking it on the chin, and that's fine, man.
Speaking of Reddit Wall Street.
Sometimes you just got to go in there, take your whooping.
Sometimes you got to take it on the chin.
He's literally never had a winning season at Nebraska.
I thought you were going to say he's literally never had a chin.
Fuck.
Yeah, Scott Frost, 12-20 at Nebraska.
Nebraska fans, you can reach me at Stephen Godfrey, 38 Godfrey on Twitter.
With a 375 win percentage there. That is where Scott Frost is hanging. So you're going to need a comeback for Coach C here. Okay. Coach C, if you'll recall, 43-22-1, no conference titles, and winless in four bowl games.
I feel a little bit better about this one. And I'm I'm ready to get hurt again.
No. You should, because I will tell you, I don't think you're going to come back and tie me for sheer win percentage. All right. Yeah. But I will say two things that if we were actually putting together a formula, it made sense here. One, Holly by volume pulled by far the best value pick in landing Bobby Bowden.
Sure.
And in terms of long-term performance.
But I'm still mad about it, so this is a good game.
You pulled IBM, right? Like, basically, you bought IBM in the, like, 50s.
And long-standing ties to Nazis. Yeah, that meant.
Right? This all tracks, right? And eventual obsolescence. It's all there. Ryan just pulled by far the most prestigious one. I don't really know how to quantify that.
Yeah.
But because the coach that Ryan pulled by taking Coach C is the Michigan State coach who went to LSU and won LSU's first national title of the 21st century.
Who's
and
that?
then later coached Alabama.
Who's that?
And did okay there. Yeah, you pulled Nick Saban, son.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Talk about selling short.
This is a good. There we go. There,
the
I knew it. I knew it would fucking work. So now I can have a staff of Nick Saban head coach, Scott Frost OC, Brady Hoke DC.
No, make Nick the DC.
Okay. and Brady Hoke the head coach.
Figurehead.
Because you want
figurehead
Brady.
Let's make it clear that I'm in charge here, and I've earned this responsibility.
Oh, Ryan, you have an advantage either way when you think about it, because either Brady Hoke does all your press conferences or Saban's in charge, and that means Scott Frost is never allowed to talk.
Oh, no, not once. And every time he complains about something, Nick's like, just shut the fuck up. Come on, just do your goddamn job.
So I even factored in his lackluster year. And tenure at LSU, where heaven forbid he actually went 8-4 a couple times.
Ugh.
Nick Saban, since coming from Michigan State, is 213-39 with seven national titles and 19 bowl games. Yeah, man,
fuck.
You did well. That pulled you all the way up. All other things aside, that single pick right there pulled you up to a 601.
That's fine. I'm fine with that.
A 601. Holly, did we figure out your staffing? who would do what Ty Willingham, Dan Hawkins, Jesus and Bobby Christ. Bowden? Just put Bobby in charge.
Bobby is going to be in charge because do you know what's most important to me when putting together a coaching staff? I want these players to get paid.
Fair.
Yeah.
Well done. Dan Hawkins will be in charge of vibes.
No, but yeah, Bobby is in charge. Ty will coach
golf.
Yeah, Bobby. Tell you what, Bobby is in charge of football. Ty is in charge of Olympic sports.
And Dan's in charge of intramurals.
Perfect.
Great pick, brother. Great pick.
I was gonna say Dan Hawkins is just gonna teach me how to live, man. He's gonna learn how to, like, somehow I get the sense that Dan Hawkins makes a delicious paella. Mm-hmm. No recipe. He pulls a tiny packet of saffron threads from inside his quarter zip, and you're like, where did you get that?
He's like, I'm a whitewater rafting instructor on weekends. Isn't that when the games are? Yeah, it is.
I don't know that this isn't the worst way to live, that this isn't the best way to live. Especially now, man.
I mean, beast being Bobby Bowden.
Yeah.
That's a low bar.